And the title last week's sermon series was Christian Abortion Doctors. And the question is, are we saved to be lawless? Now, something has happened to the church. As glorious as the Reformation was, and that's why you and I can sit here today with many freedoms, we were running on the fumes of the Reformation for a long time. But we've been unfaithful to the reformers. And especially in this nation, the things that we're going through is because of our unfaithfulness. What the Reformation did, and we'll repeat this, what the Reformation did was put the Bible back in the hands of the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, the farmer. That's what it did. And what happened was, instead of needing a pope who would speak ex cathedra, we can do it. If you want to be perfect in giving witness for the Lord and reading the Word of God, read this book to someone without commentary. And you are speaking as if it was the Holy Spirit speaking. Read the book, don't add anything to it, and you are just as powerful as any pope or wannabe celebrity pastor. You have the Word of God in your hands. That's what the Reformation did. It gave the Word back to the people.
Amen.
What the Reformation also did is, where we used to live in a Roman Catholic world, where everyone was Christian after being baptized as a baby, whether you liked it or not, and if you weren't baptized as a baby, if you lived in a land which had Roman Catholicism in it, you quickly became baptized for your own health's sake, so you didn't lose hands or feet or head. We spoke about this last week. But what the reformers did, it brought proper church discipline back to the church. You could no longer be a flaming heretic, and just because you were baptized, sit comfortably in a church. So where we had a situation in Christendom where everybody was Christian, if you just happened to be born in a Christian nation, now people being pushed to really know the words of Christ, to emulate Christ and behave like Christians and speak like Christians and read the Word like Christians. We've gone backwards. And unfortunately for us, now, Baptists, some argue that our history goes back further than the Reformers. Some say it started with the Reformers. That's not what we're trying to get into today. We're just showing that regardless of what your opinion is, we have disappointed the fathers of the Reformation in that we've again gone away from the Word. We've gone away from the Word. We've lost the value of church discipline. Any maniac can walk into a church today, unrepentant, and become a member. He will find a crazy enough church somewhere that he can join, he or she, and proclaim to be a Christian and have no fruits of the Spirit and still behave like a pagan. Even better, there are many churches today where that person, he or she, can enter the pulpit and be a spiritual leader and be a flaming heretic. So what we need to do is recover the Word. How would Jesus Christ have us behave? He told us, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. Well, how do we do that? You read your Word.
Amen.
You learn the Word. We need a recovery of the biblical faith. We need to recover the keys of the kingdom, which Jesus gave to the apostles, and then now that has been handed to us. That's what's lacking today. Church leadership needs to love its people enough to correct them and to protect them.
Amen.
So let us pray. Almighty God, we pray, Lord, that your word today would glorify your Son, who is our only King, Jesus Christ. We thank you, dear God, that we have the great example of our Lord Jesus Christ on how we ought to live and to live biblically and faithfully. We pray, dear God, for a new reformation and revival in this land, where the church, all churches, all denominations, return to their first love, which is our King Jesus. We ask, Lord, that our hearts would be open today to receive your word, and that our hands would be busy doing the word once we leave this place. We pray, dear God, that your Holy Spirit would descend on us and allow us to be able to digest the milk and the meat of the word. We thank you for this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now, we did a sermon series on the Ten Commandments. And the thing I kept repeating every week was, it seems so basic. Why would you have to go over the Ten Commandments? Does going over the Ten Commandments make us legalists? And that was the question. And you would think that something as simple as the Ten Commandments would be understood. Just like some of the simple commands that were in the Old Testament. A man should not dress or behave like a woman. A woman should not dress or behave like a man. Seems pretty simple. Take a trip into New York today and you'll see that we've even lost that. So these things need to be constantly taught by the church. And our children need to be inculcated with these lessons. So they grow up with the real word. They're able to truly wield the sword of the Spirit. Amen. Not just put it on their shelf like some protective amulet. Now, this is what we wanted to discuss today. Once again, when we started this sermon series, I thought it would be one sermon. And I would find maybe one Christian abortion doctor, maybe two. And I could make a series out of it and express the lessons of 1 Peter. But what happened, to my horror, there are so many professing Christians involved in the abortion industry that we had to break this up. So let me read a quick article to you. This is from March 16, 2010. Late-term abortion doctors fill in for Tiller. The murdered abortion provider was one of the few nationwide willing to perform abortions in the third trimester. A few others quietly stepped forward. Reporting from Los Angeles and Albuquerque, this is by Robin Abkarian and Michael Haderly. Last year, after Kansas abortion provider George Tiller was killed in church, his supporters worried about what would happen to the hundreds of women who sought late-term abortions each year at Tiller's clinic, which was closed after his death. Some physicians are quietly stepping forward. Curtis Boyd, listen to this one, an Albuquerque doctor, recently announced on his website that in response to Tiller's death, he had begun performing third trimester abortions. Boyd, 72, also announced that he had hired two California physicians, Susan Robinson and Shelley Sella, who used to work with Tiller on a rotating basis. Quote, Dr. Tiller was one of the few doctors in the United States who provided late-term abortions to women with severe fetal abnormalities or maternal health indications, said a statement on Dr. Boyd's website. Appointments for late abortions are now available. How wonderful. Boyd, Robinson, and Sella declined interview requests. All have been targets of vitriolic attacks on anti-abortion websites. After Tiller was murdered by Scott Rita, who faces sentencing April 1st, the National Abortion Federation began asking members who already provide second trimester abortions to consider extending their practices to include third trimester abortions. NAF President Vicky Saporta would not say how many agreed. If I give you a number and you print it, the people who want to do these people harm will get all over the internet and try to figure out who these people might be and how to target them, Saporta said. The Reverend Stephen Barato, President of Project Defending Life in Albuquerque, said he received a call last week from Troy Newman, President of Operation Rescue, the Wichita anti-abortion group that dedicated itself to putting Tiller out of business. Quote, he wanted to discuss with me at some point in time what we're doing in terms of prayer vigils and bringing attention to Curtis Boyd. Now, here's the issue with Mr. Boyd. Mr. Boyd was an ordained Baptist minister. Mr. Boyd knew the Word of God. He is an ordained Baptist minister, and he is now a member of the Unitarian Church. And whenever he does an interview or an article is written about him, he loves to speak about he's a former ordained Baptist minister. And not just any kind. Not from some quasi-on-the-fringe Fruit Loop Baptist organization. Real fundamental-type Baptist background. He loves to throw this out there. So now we have Mr. Tiller, who was Reformed Lutheran, When he was murdered in his church, he was actually the usher at the time. He was the face you saw when you walked in, welcoming you in the name of Christ. And now to replace him, one of the people that want to step up and replace him is a former ordained Baptist minister, now Unitarian. Now the Unitarian part doesn't bother me because they're heretics anyway. So at least it makes some type of differentiation. But when you throw this out into articles that he was an ordained Baptist minister, regardless of how many years ago it was, now I have a problem. But this is what the church has come to, and this is what we were speaking about. Third trimester abortions. It's one of the most horrendous medical practices that you could perform. As a matter of fact, it's not even practicing medicine, it's murder. What's coming out nowadays is this Philadelphia abortion clinic. News day after day, story after story. Now we have one where a baby was swimming around in a toilet bowl trying to escape. And they picked it up and killed that one too.
Wow.
And the doctor was allegedly teaching this snipping technique where if the child came out alive and was struggling for breath, you can mercifully cut its spine until it died. So we went from the reformers and recovery of the biblical faith to this trash. This godless trash that God will judge. Trust me, God will visit his people. He will not let you drag his name through the mud. Please turn to 1 Peter. We're going to be working on chapter 2 today. First Peter chapter 2. This is point number one in the sermon, so we call it like it is. Servants of the devil will behave like their ruthless king. Those who have been brought into God's kingdom will behave like their gracious King, Jesus Christ. We'll read the first three verses in 1 Peter chapter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So here we have Peter, a legalist, because he's teaching morality. So you have to tear up the book of James and throw that out, because he's actually telling Christians how to behave. Now you've got to start tearing up Peter, because it tells Christians to behave themselves, to act like Christians. Justification by faith is all we need. Jesus did all the work. But aren't we saved unto something? Is a Christian saved to become an abortion doctor? Can I be a gangbanger in the street and then come in here and preach to you? Would you deal with that as a congregation?
No.
Because you love me, wouldn't you correct me? Hey, pastor, you can't be prostituting women and selling coke on the street and then come preach from 2 Peter. Maybe you need an attitude change. Oh, you're all legalists. Who are you to judge me? So this is the setup. Peter. We'll get into Paul, who's also a legalist. Peter is talking about laying aside malice and guile and hypocrisies, envies, and evil speaking. So this is the showdown for the Christian. On this side we have malice, guile, hypocrisies, envies, evil speakings. And here we want the desire for the sincere milk. A of the Word. The Word of God is pretty simple. So there's a certain way to be. You're not allowed to be involved with malice. The Greek word is kakia, meaning malice, ill will, a desire to injure, not ashamed to break laws. Guile, dolos, doesn't just mean guile in a simple sense. It means to be crafty in it, to have a skill in this type of stuff. Being deceitful. Hypocrisis, where we get the word hypocrisies, like the acting of a stage player. A hypocrite, as the kids say in the neighborhood, they are playing themselves. They're pretending to be something they are not. Do not be a hypocrite. Do not walk in with your 4-pound Bible commentary and your giant-sized King James Bible or whatever version you read and then go out and behave like a maniac and tell people that you're a Christian. Envies. Tornos. Envy prompted by envy, jealousy, and evil speakings. Catalalia. Now against that, how are we supposed to behave? What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to do what the Reformers gave us a chance to do. You have the Word of God in your hands. Desire the sincere milk of the Word. The simple truths. Don't get confused. Do not trust anyone, especially a minister. Read things for yourself. That's why I quote Scripture. How do you know if I'm lying or not? I could speak 3 hours about your best life now. How do you know if it's scriptural? You got to read the Bible along with me. Epitheo. Desire. To long for. To pursue with love. You are to love the Word of God. It's not a simple desire. You yearn for it. I had such a crazy day today. Before I turn on cable TV, before I listen to AC/DC or Kiss, before I turn on Jay-Z or get that Kanye record, I'm going to read the Word of God. I want to find comfort in that. You have a love for it. You love it just as much as music videos and movies and all that other stuff. Sincere. Guile is dolos. Sincere is the opposite of dolos. Guileless. In things unmixed, unadulterated, pure. You ever heard that biblical saying? A little leaven? We don't mix. We don't mix. We want the pure Word. We don't get into these fantasies. Just turn on TBN. You'll see a lot of fantasies today. Things preachers are teaching. Matter of fact, I need a little extra money for my car. At the end of this service, we will be selling prayer hankies. If you wipe your nose with that prayer hanky, you will be blessed. And abundantly. Milk. Galah. And in that sense, it means the less difficult Christian truths. If you hold on to the basic Christian truths, you'll be okay. Don't worry about the fancy stuff. Even as a pastor, I don't get involved in some of these fancy arguments. I know Christ, dead, buried, resurrected from the dead. He now reigns in heaven. He is my Lord. I follow his simple commands. If you want to talk about that, talk to me. If you want to get into fancy philosophical arguments, don't talk to me, because I don't have time to waste with you. There are people to feed. There are unsaved people to give witness to. That's what I want to be involved in. Not to see how fancy I am. Now, a little thought on this. Why did Bruce Lee pop into my mind? To give you a practical illustration. I'll tell you why Bruce Lee popped into my mind. Because as someone who's always enjoyed the martial arts, one of the things Bruce Lee taught, like all this MMA and mixed martial arts and crazy stuff you see today, which we shouldn't be involved in, Bruce Lee helped found that. And the way he did it was, Bruce Lee, from when he was young, explored all the martial arts. And after exploring judo and aikido and different forms of karate and kung fu and all these different arts, Bruce Lee said, when I was finished, when I came back to the beginning, when I completed my journey, a punch was still a punch and a kick was still a kick. And that's my message to you. So many of us do it. As you get involved in these different conflicts between denominations and what it really means to be a Baptist in this denomination, or what Reform really means, or Reform Lutheran, or whatever, and all this stuff. And just remember this. Always hold on to the simple truths of the Word.
Amen.
The Ten Commandments are still the Ten Commandments. Jesus' great commandment distilled into love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. That's still what you need to focus on. When you go through all these theological books and constructs and all this fancy stuff, a punch is still a punch, and a kick is still a kick. Don't lose that. See, people want to get into the meat of the Word. When you get into meat, you don't stop drinking milk. You don't desert the milk. Any athlete knows this. Milk is milk, meat is meat. When you combine the both, you are a beast. In whatever sport you play, whatever you get involved in, be that way in the faith. Be a beast, a mighty beast in the Word. That hypocrites and pagans confront you and they're like, whoa, this guy knows his Word. Not that you got all your Bible truths from a mini-series on cable. So servants of the devil will behave like their ruthless king. They will have malice, guile, hypocrisies, envies, and evil speakings. We will behave like our king, desiring the sincere milk of the Word, desiring all truth. Loving our King Jesus, loving our Father, we will emulate Christ, how gracious He's been to us. Point number two, through the work of Jesus alone. Jesus alone. Can we be everlasting stones in God's spiritual house? He is the foundational stone who supports us. Satan acts like a capstone who is supported by his army of slaves. We're going to see the difference. 1 Peter 4 through 12. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, the holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. Can't say that, it's legalistic. Whereunto also they are appointed, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, amen, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Having your conversation, your behavior, honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Amen and amen. Now, this cornerstone, this foundational stone, well, we know who it is. Jesus Christ is the great example. He's a living stone. Jesus is not a king like the Gentile kings. He didn't come to be served, but to serve.
Amen.
He's the most gracious, the most loving, beautiful God. How many people with just a little extra money in the bank account run out and live like animals, just serving themselves in their flesh? My God is so great, with all the power and riches contained in all of creation, and then the entire universe serves others.
Amen.
I went to 19 years of art school to be able to draw like this. So here we have the cornerstone, our Lord, and we have all these little stones. And He is the foundation. Anyone that knows about architecture, if the first stone, as we say in Coney Island, ain't be right, then the building won't be right. So here we have our Lord. Okay, very basic. He is the stone. He is the stone. And we are these little stones. As a matter of fact, when you look at verse 4, it talks about Jesus being this living stone. And zao, metaphorically, this word, this Greek word zao, metaphorically to be in full vigor, fresh, strong, efficient. As an adjective, it means active, powerful, efficacious. And the stone metaphorically is Christ. And then we in verse 5, it talks about how we are to be lively stones. The same vocabulary is used. You are to emulate Christ. You are to emulate His behavior, His essence, what He's like, what He was like when He came to this planet. You are to honor Him. Now, of course, we're little stones. But the same wording is used. The same exact words in the Greek. We're to be these lively stones. You don't get saved and then sit in your garage for the next 30 years. You come down to Brooklyn. You help rescue your brothers and sisters. Yeah, that's a plug. You come down, you help us. You show us love. You blow us away with your acts of affection. That's what you do. That's a living stone. That's something useful that could be used in the building of God. We don't get saved to be lazy. Now, on the other hand, let me start some trouble today. This is Satan's type of building. He sits at the top. He sits at the top. He sits on top of his slaves, his people. He's not supporting anything. If you look at these organizations, I don't care if it's a drug cartel, if it's a drug cartel, if it's an out-of-control government like North Korea, are people really happy? Are they doing well? They are being squashed under the weight of their leadership. Our Lord, the great God of the universe, holds us up.
Amen.
And protects us and loves us.
Amen.
The humanistic wannabe kings, the antichrist of this world, sit on their people, and their people are crushed beneath the weight.
Amen.
That's why no matter what empire rises up in history, give it a little time and it's an afterthought. But the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ is forever.
Amen.
Because of his behavior. Satan will be destroyed because of the way he behaves. Now, we got to be careful. Jesus is also described at times as a type of capstone in Scripture. But it's different. Meaning he finishes the building, and then if you don't rely on him, you can't get in. It's a little different. We're just showing you an example of how satanic type conspiracies or governments and organizations, it's nothing scary. God told us it would be this way. They love to be served. They love the chief seats in the church. They love the attention. They love the people's money. God help you if you're really in trouble. That's the group he's talking about. Now, is this something peculiar? Speaking about this stone, this foundational stone, is this something peculiar in the New Testament? Please turn to Isaiah chapter 28. We're going to read verses 14 through 22. When you have the page, you can yell it out for everybody else.
Amen.
This is a Baptist church. It's okay to speak out.
All
right. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people, which is in America. I'm sorry, Jerusalem. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death and with hell. Are we in agreement? When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood we have hid ourselves. This is not the New York Times. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down. From the time that it goeth forth, and it shall take you, for morning by morning shall it pass over by day and by night. And it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. For the bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than that he can wrap himself in it. For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim. He shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. Now therefore be ye not mockers, Unitarians, lest your bands be made strong. For I have heard from the Lord God opposed to consumption, even determined upon the whole earth. It is a strange work. We have a beautiful and loving God that loves us. We're precious to Him. He doesn't care what you did in your past life. You could have been a pimp, a prostitute, an embezzler. You could have had 6 or 7 abortions. When you come to Christ, you are clean.
Amen.
And when you are in the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, that let no one say that you are unclean or judge you. But God have mercy on you if you don't come to Christ.
Amen.
If you don't jump on the ark, when the floods come, you will drown. So this is not something peculiar to the New Testament. As a matter of fact, Peter, he's the Old Testament champ. Just read through the book. He's constantly quoting Old Testament book after Old Testament book. He didn't come to Christians and say, hey, read this epistle that I wrote. He was reading the Old Testament to them. That's the word that they were working with. So let us get to know our whole Bible. So through the work of Jesus alone, we can be everlasting stones in God's spiritual house. He is the foundational stone who supports us. Satan acts like a capstone who is supported by his army of slaves. That's why all Antichrist kingdoms take on this character. We're not just talking about ancient Greece or ancient Rome. How about the old Soviet Union? That was white slavery. The whole country being forced to take whatever job the government told them to, and being paid the wages the government told them to be paid. Now we have the same thing in China. Shame on us when China exports so many goods to you, to the United States and to the EU. All the iPads and iPhones and the other junk. And then what's going to happen? You're going to read about it in the news. People from Foxconn that build that stuff jumping off the roof of the building. The Chinese workers, because they can't take it anymore. The slavery. China is a slave nation. Every Antichrist nation turns to slavery. Politicians didn't free the slaves in this nation. Faithful Christian ministers did.
Amen.
They preached it for so long the people couldn't take it anymore. Now we had to let our brothers and sisters free.
Amen.
Point number 3. Christians use their emancipation from the kingdom of Satan to be the best citizens a government of this world can ask for. Boy, we need this lesson today as people are running to AK-47s and they want secession and all this other stuff and think that that's going to save us. So we have to be the best citizens. Please turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going back to 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to read verses 13 through 20. Now, I'm not making this stuff up, I'm reading right from the Word.
895.
One thing I'm not going to do is lie. Thank you, Upper Balcony, for telling us that we're paying attention. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm getting excited. That's last week. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently. But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. Wait a minute. This doesn't make any sense. This doesn't make any sense. I mean, I'm a Christian. I stand on the Constitution, the Bible, Is it Americanity or Christianity that we're pushing on our kids? Does being a Christian, being a successful Christian, mean standing on the Constitution, having a nice big house, the car you want, and freedom to enjoy your credit cards? Or does it mean to stand on the Bible, and even when times are bad, and even when it seems like the wicked are being successful, to stand on the promises of Christ our King and fight like warriors for Christ? In love! In love!
Amen.
So maybe the AK-47 isn't the first answer. There's no problem with the Second Amendment. There's no problem with the First Amendment. We want to keep these things. But they are a blessing from God. It is not your right apart from God. God will take away a constitution from a wicked people. And this is what we've been saying. We didn't have the full-scale rebellion and states wanting to secede when they started killing babies in 1973. But now that it might be your head on the plate, now that you have become the unborn, as they want to take away the Second Amendment and these other things to protect yourself, all of a sudden now, as a Christian, I have to be rebellious and go crazy over this stuff. And I'm not going to do it. Froward. Let's look at this word froward. Very interesting word. We have to be good at not only... Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. It is an old word. I don't walk around in Brooklyn, you know, use the word froward. You say that, Cordial, you might get smacked. People don't know what it means. You know, you're really froward. What? So let's clarify this. This word, froward, everyone's going to recognize this. Scolios. This is a transliteration. Anybody ever hear of the term scoliosis?
Yeah.
People have a problem with their spine.
Yeah.
What's wrong with the spine when you have scoliosis? It's crooked, it's curved. Amen. Crooked, curved, metaphorically, perverse, wicked, unfair, surly, or froward. This is the type of character our God is telling us when it's possible to live with, to be subject to. Now, when Peter was around, what world government, what antichrist government did we have at that time?
Rome.
The Roman Empire. Do we hear good stories about Rome? Do we hear like big socialistic health benefits and all that other nice stuff for people and health coverage for everybody and just taking care of everyone and looking out for the poor and this and that? And I don't think so. So what we really need in Christianity is also a good history lesson. These things were being said during the time of the Roman Empire. You think Obama was bad. You think President Bush was bad. How about living under one of the Caesars? You think Governor Cuomo is rough. You want to wax political and yell about every politician, which I also refuse to do. I pray for their souls that Jesus Christ would touch them and they would be saved just like myself.
Amen.
But this is the type of character we were to listen to. Like I said, I love it, people. Oh, Bloomberg, he's a tyrant. He's trying to restrict the size of the soda that I drink. We used to be thrown to the lions as Christians, and you're worried about the size of your Slurpee? Are you kidding me? How soft have we become? I am other Christians saying, oh, how do you live in New York? How can you take it in that city? It's a police state. I'm like, are you kidding me? Do you read the story of men and women that carried the faith before us, what they went through? Thrown to lions, torn apart by wild animals. I really care how big the Pepsi is that I could drink. But don't kid yourselves. This is what we've come to. This is what we've come to. Submit. In verse 13, submit. Hupotazo. To arrange under as a subordinate, to subject oneself, obey, to submit to one's control. So we are to obey even the wise guys, even the crooked guys that we love to complain about. How about praying for them? Anybody can complain about a crooked person. How about being a peculiar people, a kingdom of priests, men and women of God praying for these people? Why don't you go against the grain a little bit? That's what Jesus told me, even when I don't like it. So we're not to use our emancipation to be evil, to be wicked. We're to be the best citizens the government can ask for. Satan's children use their limited freedom to engage in endless rebellion. The main principle taught in the Satanic Bible is do as thou wilt. Anton LaVey was no genius. All this stuff was given to him. Everything that you might read in a satanic Bible is the old rebellious religion. Where Jesus told us to love God and to love our neighbor, to say do as thou wilt. And that's why it's popular with the world. Now, you don't have to be out in the open Satanist with a pitchfork or having seances and all this stuff. That's not what we're talking about. All you have to do is behave like our first parents in the garden and worship yourself, and you're a Satanist already. It's not that complicated. And that's what the world runs after. They use their freedom to do what they want. I am free. God has made me free. If I want to marry another man, I can. If I want to marry a dog, I can. If I want to marry an inanimate object, I can. I'm free. As a Christian, I'm free. I'm not under the curse of the law. If I want to take babies out of the toilet bowl and cut their spines in half, I can do it. If I want to open up their heads and scramble their brains and then sew the head back together and then give it to the mother so she can hold it and feel some comfort before we throw it away and sell the rest of the body part, I can do it. I have freedom. What does Paul say? Let's turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. Very simple. We have Peter, the witness to the Jews. We have Paul, the witness to the Gentiles. And magically, somehow, even though we don't like it, they agree in doctrine. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Paul goes in even more than Peter. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. But for this cause pay ye tribute also. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Now, how can a Christian read this and then claim to be a Christian and say it all over the news and then have a tax protest where they're sitting in their house for months, not filing taxes for years with all the guns and stuff? This has happened. You read from this from time to time. Is this really a great witness for our Lord? Now, think about it. Think about it. The Bible is speaking about this honor, paying taxes. Well, you know, as Christians, we got to do the right thing by the Lord. I've got to cheat on my taxes because I can't give this wicked government my money. Look at all the things they support. Was Rome a fruitful government? When was Paul writing? They hung our Lord on a tree. They hung many faithful on a tree. Why didn't Paul say to hold back your taxes and your tribute and your honor? They're all dogs. Throw the bums out. Don't participate in any way. So if he was able to say this on the Roman occupation, I can tolerate my president now. As a matter of fact, he's like a cuddly lapdog compared to the rulers that our former brothers and sisters were under. So let's stop with all this. There's nothing wrong with proclaiming the word, but we need to recover it in the church. Washington will not save you. The kingdom of God will save you.
Amen.
And the last point in the sermon. If a church which calls itself Christian does not have the risen Christ as its standard for living, it is a church of Satan. That's secret, friendly. We should be packed next week. Please turn to Peter, 2 Peter again. We're going to finish this off. We're going to read verses 21 through 25.
Page 825.
For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the soul that was washed her wallowing in the... I'm sorry. You could see I'm too fired up for that. Sorry about that. But what I just read wasn't secret friendly either. Verses 21 through 25, I'm sorry. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. If you do not have the risen Christ, if something else is your example besides Jesus Christ, and it's quite literal, this word example, hupogrammos, it literally means a writing copy, including all the letters of the alphabet, given to beginners as an aid in learning to draw them. Simple example. something we can understand, the foundation of your faith is Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. One of the things that makes me crazy is these crucifixes. Where you got like the effeminate Jesus and he's laying on the thing and he came off that cross. He went into the tomb. And he rose and he reigns. Get that image out of people's minds. Christ is reigning from heaven.
Amen.
Truly. We're free. If you do not teach a risen Christ, you're teaching the lessons of the Antichrist. These are trying times. Please, do not get caught up in the spirit of this age to run into violence or rash measures. You can't. And at the same time, watch your behavior, your conduct as a Christian. You can behave very badly and still be a Christian. We are not saying who's a Christian and who's not. We don't get caught up in that. But we can in love say, hey, it's like telling your brother before he gets into a car wreck to having 12 glasses of wine. You know, hey buddy, that's not the right thing to do. You're in danger. We need to get back to this. A real church discipline. Love your membership enough. Love your brother and sister enough to speak to them in love if they're going in the wrong direction. Let's start being a light to the world again.
Amen.
Anyone is welcome to call me, email me, speak to me. If you have an answer of how a Christian abortion doctor can be a good witness for Christ. This is how far we've come. Can't we say anything about the fruit of the Spirit and people needing to exemplify the fruit of the Spirit? How can we condemn the bombers in Boston? I have God and His Word in the standard, and I can say that that attack was disgusting, horrendous, horrifying. God have mercy on those men. So let us all follow the Lord Jesus Christ and be fruitful in this wicked generation. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, dear God, for your Son. We thank you, Lord, that your Son is a simple example that we can follow and learn from. We thank you, Lord, that with all his power, with all his might, he uses it not to crush us as other leaders and kings in the world, but to love us and lift us up. We thank you, dear God, that we have a real Jesus who really died on a tree and then was really resurrected and came out of that tomb to the horror of Satan. And that he reigns from on high. And that he really does commune with us when we speak from his word. We pray, dear God, that we would learn to use his word again and to conform our lives to Christ and stop with this silly lawlessness, especially within the church. We thank you, Lord, in the name of your Son, our only King, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.